The Goat of Monsieur Seguin by Alphonse Daudet.
Monsieur Seguin had never had good luck with his goats. He lost them all in the same way. Some fine morning they broke their cord and went off to the mountain, and there the wolf ate them. Neither their master's petting, nor fear of the wolf, nor anything else deterred them. They were, it would seem, independent goats, determined to have fresh air and liberty at any price.
Honest Monsieur Seguin, who was unable to understand the temperament of his beast, was dismayed. He said,
I am done. The goats are bored at my house, and I won't keep another one.
However, he did not get discouraged. After losing six goats all in the same way, he bought a seventh. But that time he was careful to buy a very young one, so that it would be more likely to become accustomed to living with him.
Mrs. Seguin's little goat was such a pretty thing. With her soft eyes, her little beard like a subaltern's, her gleaming black hooves, her stripped horns, and her long white hair, which formed a sort of great cloak. And then, so docile too, and affectionate, allowing herself to be milked without moving, without putting her foot into the pail, and a perfect little love of a goat.
Monsieur Seguin had an enclosure behind his house, surrounded by hawthorn. There he placed his new boarder. He fastened her to a stake in the place where the grass was the richest, taking care to give her a long rope, and from time to time he went to see if she was all right. The goat was very happy and browsed with such zest that Monsieur Seguin was overjoyed.
At last,
thought the poor man,
I have one that will not be bored here.
Monsieur Seguin was mistaken. His goat was bored.
One day, she said to herself, looking up at the mountain,
how happy they must be up there. What a pleasure to gamble about in the heather without this infernal cord that gals one's neck. It is all right for the donkey or the ox to graze in an enclosed space, but goats need plenty of room.
From that moment, the grass in the enclosure seemed distasteful. Ennui assailed the goat. She grew thin, her milk became scanty. It was painful to see her pulling at her cord all day long, with her head turned towards the mountain, her nostrils dilated and bleating sadly. Monsieur Seguin noticed that something was the matter with the goat, but he did not know what it was. One morning, as he finished milking her, the goat turned her head and said to him in her dialect,
listen, Monsieur Seguin, I am dying in your enclosure. Let me go to the mountain.
Ah, mon Dieu, this one too, cried Monsieur Seguin in stupefaction, and the shock caused him to drop his pail. Then, seating himself on the grass beside his goat, he said, what, Blanquette, do you want to leave me?
And Blanquette replied, yes, Monsieur Seguin.
Haven't you enough grass here?
Oh, yes, Monsieur Seguin.
Perhaps you are tied too short. Do you want me to lengthen the rope?
It isn't worthwhile, Monsieur Seguin.
What is it you want, then?
I want to go to the mountain, Monsieur Seguin.
Why, you wretched creature, don't you know that there is a wolf in the mountain? What will you do when he comes?
I will butt him with my horns, Monsieur Seguin.
The wolf doesn't care for your horns. He has eaten goats with horns much longer than yours. Don't you remember poor Renaud, who was here last year, a fine goat, as strong and ill-tempered as any he-goat? She fought with the wolf all night, and then in the morning the wolf ate her.
Pecaire, poor Renaud. But that doesn't make any difference to me, Monsieur Seguin. Let me go to the mountain.
Divine mercy, exclaimed Monsieur Seguin. What on earth does somebody do with my goats? Still another one the wolf will end by eating. But no, I will save you in spite of yourself, you hussy. And as I'm afraid you will break your rope, I'm going to shut you in the stable and you shall always stay there.
Thereupon, Monsieur Seguin carried the goat into a black stable and locked the door twice. Unfortunately, he had forgotten the window and scarcely had his back turned. That the little goat went away.
When the white goat arrived in the mountain, it was a general ravishment. Never had the old fir trees seen anything so pretty. She was received as a little queen. The chestnut trees stooped to the ground to stroke her with the tips of their branches. The golden broom opened in her path and smelled as good as they could. The whole mountain made her party.
You think if our goat was happy, there was no more rope, no stake, nothing to stop her frolicking, to gaze as she pleased. That's where there was grass, up to the horns, my dear. And what a grass, fine and sweet, made up of 1,000 different plants. It was a very different thing from the grass in the enclosure. and the flowers, great blue bellflowers, purple foxgloves with long stamens, a whole forest of wildflowers, overflowing with intoxicating juices.
The white goat, half tipsy, played about there with her legs in the air and rolled down the slopes with the falling leaves and the chestnuts. Then, of a sudden, she sprang to her feet with one leap. Away she went with her head thrust forward. Through the underbrush and the thickets, sometimes on a peak, sometimes in the bottom of a ravine, up and down and everywhere. You would have said that there were 10 of Monsieur Seguin's coats in the mountain.
The fact that Blanquette was afraid of nothing. She crossed with one bound broad torrents which spat at her, as she passed, with misty spray and foam. Then, dripping wet, she stretched herself onto a flat rock and allowed the sun to dry her. Once, as she crept to the edge of the plateau with some clover in her teeth, she spied below her in the plain Monsieur Seguin's house with the enclosure behind it. That made her laugh until she cried.
"How tiny it is,"
she said.
"How was I ever able to live there?"
Poor dear, finding herself perched up there so high, she believed herself to be at least as large as the world.
In fact, that was a great day for Monsieur Seguin's goat. About midday, as she ran to the right and left, she happened upon a band of chamois, which were busily engaged in eating wild grapes. Our little white-robed vagrant created a sensation. They gave her the best place at the vine, and those gentlemen were all very gallant. Indeed, it seems this between ourselves that a young chamois with a black coat had the good fortune to please Blanquette. The two lovers lost themselves in the wood for an hour or two, and if you would know what they said to each other, go ask the chattering steams that flow invisibly under the moss.
Suddenly the wind freshened. The mountain turned purple. It was evening. "Already?" said the little goat, and she stopped, much surprised. The fields below were drowned in mist. Monsieur Seguin's enclosure disappeared in the haze. Under the cottage, she could only see the roof, with a thread of smoke. She listened to the bells of a flock being driven home, and her heart was heavy. A falcon, flying homeward, brushed her with his wings as he passed. She started. Then there arose a howl in the mountain.
She thought of the wolf. During the day, the wild creature had not given him a thought. At the same moment, a horn blew in the valley. It was good Monsieur Seguin making a last effort.
Howled the wolf. "Come back, come back," cried the horn.
Blanquette longed to go back, but when she remembered the stake, the rope, and the hedge about the enclosure, she thought that she could never again become accustomed to that life, and that it was better to stay where she was. The horn ceased to blow.
The goat heard a rustling of leaves behind her. She turned and saw in the darkness two short, straight ears and two gleaming eyes. It was the wolf. He sat there on his haunches, enormous, motionless, gazing at the little white goat and licking his chops in anticipation. As he felt sure that he should eat her, the wolf was in no hurry, but when she turned, he began to laugh wickedly.
"Ha, ha, ha, Monsieur Seguin's little goat."
And he passed his great red tongue over his lean chops.
Blanquette felt that she was lost. For a moment, as she remembered the story of old Renaud, who had fought all night only to be eaten in the morning. She thought that it would be better to not be eaten then. Then, thinking better of it, she stood on guard, her head down and her horns forward, like the brave Seguin goat that she was. Not that she had any hope of killing the wolf. Goats do not kill wolves, but simply to see if she could hold out as long as Renaud. Thereupon, the monster came forward, and the little horns began to play.
Ah, the dear little goat, how courageously she went at it. More than 10 times she compelled the wolf to retreat in order to take breath. During these momentary respites, the little glutton hastily plucked another blade of her dear grass. Then she returned to the battle with her mouth full. This lasted all night. From time to time, Monsieur Seguin's goat glanced at the stars dancing in the clear sky and said to herself,
Oh, if only I could hold out to until dawn.
One after another, the stars went out. Blanket fought with redoubled fury with her horns. The wolf with his teeth, a pale gleam appeared on the horizon. The hoarse crying of cock came up from a farm.
At last,
said the poor creature, who was only awaiting the dawn to die, and she lay down in her lovely white coat, all spotted with blood. Thereupon, the wolf threw himself upon the little goat and ate her.
The end.